good afternoon, evening, or morning. This is YahWeh.name, yours truly, Stephan Yah. And we're going to be going down the slippery slopes of compromise. We're not going to go down there, but we're going to look at what it's like to go down the slippery slopes of compromise. But first of all, tell you a little bit about the ministry here, that that our belief is in the true Messiah, according to Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, YahWeh is one. We believe that man is a sinner, has inherited the nature of Adam and Eve, and that we're all sinners before Calvary. The first sin we committed probably was disobeying mommy and daddy. And we can be delivered from those sins. The book of Proverbs tells us this. Ezekiel, Zechariah, Daniel, Joel, and 2 Corinthians 1:10. And the proof that this is his word can be found in the book of John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with YahWeh, and the Word was YahWeh. So, everything from Genesis to Revelation is the Word, and that is the Messiah himself, Yahusha himself, the proper name we use here on this radio podcast is Yahusha for the Messiah and YahWeh for the Father. Others pronounce that differently, like Jehovah or YahWeh, and their pronunciations can vary a little bit, not a whole lot though, changing the whole meaning of his word, of his name. We don't do that. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 then, verse 10, and this says, this Messiah, you would not be ignorant, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, and that we should not trust in ourselves, but in YahWeh which raised the dead, who delivered us from great a death, and does deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. He will yet deliver, as Paul says there in 2 Corinthians. Then, I'd like to save the book of Proverbs for a little bit later on. Then, in Ezekiel, that's the book of Ezekiel, that's chapter 3, verse 19. As I'm looking through the King James today, just changing the common names back to the proper rendition, as recorded in the in the Hebrew script, using YahWeh for the proper name of YahWeh, for Yod Heh Vav Heh, the Tetragrammaton, that's YahWeh. Okay, chapter 3:19, Ezekiel, and I start at an earlier verse, 18. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, thou shalt give him, and you don't give him a warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at thine hand. So, YahWeh wants us to share with selected ones the truth of the word. Yet, if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wicked ways, nor from his wickedness, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man does turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. In other words, he shall die, first of all, a spiritual death, and after that, a physical death. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at thy hand, if you do not warn him. So that's found there in the third chapter of Ezekiel. Also in Joel, that's in the so-called minor prophets. Now, and we just love to go through these so-called minor prophets. Oh, and also in Daniel 12, since Joel is harder, it takes more time to find them. And I've got the Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 right now for you to read for all of us. At that time shall Michael stand up, the prince, which stands for the children of the Thy people, there should be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time the people shall be delivered from one that should be found written in the book. Now, every one that should be found written in the book shall be delivered. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. This is in Daniel chapter 12. Also find in Hosea 13, 14. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever. So do care about your brother or sister. But thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. And many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Stop there at this particular time. Then I gave a reference to Hosea 14:12, and I gave them a king in my anger and took him away in my wrath. By the way, the future of the world does not rest in the hands of a king, of any king on earth. It rests in the hands of Almighty Yahweh. Verse 12, and this is referring to us now because Ephraim represents us as a whole anyway, the commonwealth of Israel. It says, the iniquity or lawlessness, the iniquity of Ephraim is bound up, his sin is hid. The sorrows of a travailing woman shall come upon him. He is an unwise son, for he shall not stay long. In other words, we shall not stay long in the place of breaking forth of children. So, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plague. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance and comfort shall he be hid from my eyes. Though he be fruitful among his brethren, an east wind shall come. The wind of Yahweh shall come up from the wilderness, and his spring shall dry. His fountain shall be dried up. He shall spoil the treasure of all pleasant vessels. Samaria shall become desolate, for she has rebelled against her Elohim. They shall fall by the sword. Their infants shall be dashed in pieces, and their women with child ripped. So that was just before we get into Joel. That was Hosea chapter 14. So the reference here was Joel 2:32 of the good news. Good news is here, and more good news is coming. That's why I love to turn on the radio, and if they're playing a commercial or a commercial or song, or babbling about some of the world affairs, but speculating about it at that, then I know that things are pretty much the same. But if they're into a long dissertation, a long newscast, longer than ever, with a lot of warning sounds, like the emergency broadcast signal, then I know that there's some trouble. And then I might listen to them and hear what the warning might be. So, so don't take the radio too seriously when they try to bring you down. One of the Christian radio stations has a very good speaker on the air. He's so encouraging, but as soon as he gets off the air, then they bring on the disappointing news and try to bring us down. So that's where I click off the radio. It says in Joel chapter 2, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of Yahweh. Terrible sometimes means awesome. Terrible day of Yahweh. And also see Matthew 24. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be delivered. So there's our deliverance that he provided for us from the offering of the Messiah at Calvary on the tree. So we'll be delivered, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as Yahweh has said. And in the remnant, whom Yahweh shall call. Also see Acts 2:16 and 4:12. 2:16 and 4:12 of Acts, but I don't believe we're going to go there. We are... let's see, you could read all of Zechariah chapter 2 and 3. That is not the main text for this program today, for this message, which actually is on a Sabbath day. But turning here, trying to find Zechariah. Coming up. So I'm able to share this with you in chapter 2, of portions of chapter 2 and 3. The prophet Zechariah, and this is regarding the last days. In fact, the very last days. I lift up my eyes and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. I said, "Where goest thou?" And he said, "To measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth and what is the length." Behold, the messenger talked with me, went forth, another messenger went out to meet him. And he said, "Run and speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls, for the multitude of men and cattle therein. For I, Yahweh, will be unto her a wall of fire about. I will be the glory in the midst of her. Ho, ho, come forth." Now, ho means announcing. "Come forth and flee from the land of the north, saith Yahweh, for I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heaven. Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon." Well, obviously we can't deliver ourselves, but we call on him, so we're delivering ourselves by calling on his name. "Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, after the glory..." Yes, we need to call on his name. "Thus saith Yahweh, after the glory has he sent me unto the nations, which spoil you, for he that touches you touches the apple of his eye. Behold, I will shake my hand upon them, and they shall be a spoil to their servants. You'll know that Yahweh of hosts has sent me." In the King James, they use the common word, "Lord of hosts has sent me." "Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith Yahweh. Many nations shall be joined to Yahweh in that day. They shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that Yahweh of hosts has sent me unto thee, and Yahweh shall inherit Judah, his portion, in the pure land," the holy land in the King James, "and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, all flesh, before Yahweh, for he raised him up," for he is raised up out of his pure habitation. And then he showed me Messiah in chapter 3. That is, it says here Joshua in the King James. It is actually Yahusha, or it would say Yeshua, the same as Joshua. And back here in the older scriptures, the high priest Joshua standing before the messenger of Yahweh. So this is actually not referring to the Joshua of the Older Testament times, but of the high priest Messiah. It was Yasha, or Yahusha. "And saw Satan standing at the right hand to resist him. And Yahweh said unto Satan, Yahweh rebuke thee, O Satan. Even Yahweh that has chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Yahusha was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the messenger." If we zipped up to 8:23, it would follow that up and explain that, and do much better job than I would. "Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of the languages of all nations. Even those 10 shall take hold of the skirt of him," or the talit. Actually, that's not the Hebrew word there. It would be tzitzi of him that is a Jew. So the tzitzi of him that is a Jew, saying, "We will go with you, for we have heard that Yahweh is with you." Then back to the text there, chapter 3, and we left off in 3:3. "Yahusha was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spoke and stood and said, Take away the filthy garments. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thy iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment." That's what he's doing with us, is giving a robe of righteousness as we take on the righteousness by the Spirit, the righteousness of Yahusha, the Messiah. And then about the hat, I said, "Let them set a fair mitre upon his head." So They set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the messenger stood by. The messenger of Yahweh protested unto Joshua, protested unto Yahusha. It says Joshua in the King James, but unto Yahusha the Messiah. And he exhorted, "Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shall keep my courts." Keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among those that stand by. Hear now, O Yahusha, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at, for behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. This is in huge capital letters here in my giant print version of the King James. I will bring forth my servant, the branch. Behold, the stone that I have laid before Yahusha, even one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith Yahweh of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. In that day, saith Yahweh of hosts, shall you call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. Fig tree representing Israel, and the vine possibly under Yahusha. The fig tree, Israel, is supposed to be Messiah, but now we want to be careful in trying to cross-interpret things there. This definitely we could show to some Hebraic person who didn't believe in the Messiah and have them try to explain, at least to themselves, why this Yahusha is not the son of Yahweh, if we were to use that passage in Zechariah chapter 3 or Isaiah 53, he was bruised for our iniquities. That's correct. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. I only missed quoting one sentence there. So believe in the Messiah, in his shed blood, instead of the shed blood of animals, the old covenant law there, a sacrificial temple sacrifices. Believe in the blood of Messiah that he shed for us. In his laws, his Torah, that is, and the Pentateuch, that is, from Genesis to Revelation. And believe in his covenant, Hebrews 10, or 8:10, actually either one. And he will write his laws in our hearts, not so we can forget them and we'll be some sort of a automaton. No, he'll write his laws in our hearts. We'll walk in his word, because he is the word. And we'll receive the infilling of the Spirit, as we have asked him at different times, especially during the Pentecost celebrations annually. The rewards of heaven is eternal life, which begins soon, we're hoping, in New Jerusalem. And you can enjoy Yahweh and enjoy his word, enjoy his life in the kingdom right now. And we're certainly not... We are subject to him. We are certainly not above his law. But we are, the scripture says in Romans 8:7, when it talks about that we are walking in the spirit and not walking in the flesh, it says, the carnal mind is enmity against Yahweh. It is not subject to his Torah, nor indeed can be. No, it isn't okay to just follow the trends that are going along that are opposite from what the scripture says, or foreign ways of worship and of dress and foreign ways, so let's not be a part of that. And there are false doctrines that in the epistle of 1 John in chapter 3, it defines what sin is. Sin is the transgression of his law, and even King David is still there, where Yahweh has put him in the place of rest. It says here in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, Maasa chapter 2, book of Acts chapter 2. And then it says this three different times throughout the book of Acts, as if one weren't enough. But back on that theme of resurrection, My heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. David speaks concerning that I foresaw the Lord. I foresaw Yahweh. That shouldn't be Lord or Adonai or Hashem, but YHVH. I foresaw Yahweh always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. David speaking from the grave, as it were. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. My flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy pure one or holy one to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is still with us unto this day. Also see Maasa, or Acts 13:36. And also see down here farther in this chapter, chapter 2. For Messiah has raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses. He, seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Messiah, not Christos, not Jesus, but of Messiah, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Therefore, being by the right hand of Yahweh exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Ruach HaKadosh, commonly called the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David, that's King David, or Psalmist David, King David is not ascended into the heavens, but he says himself, and I want to read the King James first, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. So Yahweh said unto my Elohim, sit thou at my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that Yahweh has made that same Messiah, whom you have crucified, both Master and Messiah. Acts 2:36. When they heard this, they were moved in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, or Kepha said to them, repent and be immersed, every one of you, in the name of the Messiah, Yahusha HaMashiach, HaMashiach meaning Messiah, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Ruach HaKadosh. Also see Acts 10:46, and also Acts 19. For the promise is unto you and your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as Yahweh shall call. With many other words, he testified and exhorted, saying, save yourselves, that is, trusting in Messiah, save yourselves from this untoward generation, or crooked generation. And they that received his word were baptized, or immersed, and that same day they were added unto them 3,000 souls. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. So that's Acts chapter 2. And we're one half hour into this podcast, approximately. And I want to check something here for just a moment. Anyway. Okay, now we continue with the... continuing with the message called The Slippery Slope. The reason I mentioned the entitled this program that is the other day I was on a hilltop not far from town here, but moved around a tree. So my foot went around the right side of the tree. I thought, shall I make a phone call, emergency? No, I might drop the phone, or worse yet, lose my position here already. So you don't want to be down that slippery slope. Symbolically speaking, or spiritually speaking, there are many slippery slopes to be aware of in this world. Well, what happened with the story? I prayed then, and I could have called my dog down to kind of help me get back up. I could have used a leash, and she probably could have gave me a tow. But, just a little at a time, I'd grasp a small shrub, and it looked like it might give away, but I grabbed one, and it didn't give away. So I worked my way up, and it took about 15 minutes, and then finally I was back up on the tabletop of that little area there. But warning to stay away from and check first about slippery slopes when they come your way. Any sort of compromise anything that's contrary to the scriptures. And somebody might try to think up something. Well, that's not in the scripture. Well, in a way, you could find everything, every answer to your behavior, at least, in the pure scriptures. And if you're having a problem with that, if you don't know where to find it, perhaps get a hold of us here at YahvahYahweh.name. So John chapter 10, Messiah is speaking, and he said, many good works have I showed you, or many, you know, much fruit have I showed you from my Father, and for which of these works do you stone me? Then you could read the rest of that passage in John 10 if you like. John 14, Messiah stressed very, very vehemently, very strongly now, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the fruit and the works that I do, it says in the King James, works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be magnified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. That is, anything in line with his nature and with his word. So if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's spiritual things. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, he didn't have separate commandments than his Father. He said, I and the Father are one. And we'll address that when we get to the book of the Revelation just briefly there about doing the fruit of Yahweh, showing forth fruit worthy for repentance. But first of all, let's go to the next turn forth a couple of pages now to James. I can almost hear those pages flipping in the cell phone as you might be using that. There's many programs, a concordance on the cell phone, by the way, for free, and ordinarily could cost you $100 for a nice concordance. You do have a condensed one in the back of your scriptures, probably, that you can get with a Bible. But anyway, on the cell phone, it's a lot quicker, much, much quicker, like 4, 5, 10 times as fast to check that on your cell phone or computer. James chapter 2. Now, I'm sure everybody has found it. Yaakov 2:14. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man says he has faith and has not fruit? Or King James says works, and has not works, or bearing fruit. So keeping those commandments, statutes, and judgments consistently from the beginning, from the foundational word spoken in Scripture, way back in the book of Exodus, Leviticus, which is a misnomer, it should say, Vayikra is the Hebrew word, and Numbers and Deuteronomy are the foundational teachings for most things that are later repeated in the New Testament. Some of them are not, like the third commandment is not repeated in the New Testament. Verse 17 now, James 2:17. Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. So we must show fruit worthy. And a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works, or deeds, or fruit. I will show forth the fruit of obeying Yahweh's commandments lovingly and willingly, for the most part. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Skipping a page to chapter 3, verse 12. You're welcome to continue, though, with that passage. Number 3, verse 12 in Yaakov. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, and yes, they have lied about me, too, on many things, but they speak evil against you as evildoers, and your turn is coming, if they haven't done it yet. They, by your good works, or good fruit, which they shall behold, they shall magnify Yahweh in the day of visitation, when Yahweh shall visit his people and shall come forth to separate the sheep and the goats. I'm adding to make sense of that. So each day we need to analyze ourselves and put on the full armor and to see where we might see some improvement in our spiritual walk from where thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works or first deeds or first fruit, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Repent from those old dead works and the evil works of our flesh. And then a question came up of Genesis chapter 3 of Cain and Abel. We could read the entire passage. It's pretty short. And chapter 4. Four of Bereshit. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from Yahweh. She again bare his brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto Yahweh. Now, we don't believe that this is the key issue of whether it was grain or whether it was sheep. It was their attitude or a corruption in the offering, if you want to look into that further. But it does say in verse 4, Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock, the firstlings of his flock and of the fat, and Yahweh had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But it doesn't tell why, so anything more than that is speculation. But how about Cain? But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. So Yahweh did not respect that offering of Cain, not necessarily because of the type of material he was bringing, but there was something else, possibly. Either way, we don't really know for sure. But Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. So here's more of a key issue now. His countenance fell, and Yahweh said to Cain, make that Cain, why art thou wroth, or why art thou angry, and why is thy countenance fallen? That was important. And thou doest well, if thou doest well. So there's the condition. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Aha, verse 7 there, that's the key. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lies at the door. So the word sin is mentioned in Genesis here. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and murdered him, or slew him. And Yahweh said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Well, of course he is. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cries unto me from the ground. So he has defiled the ground and murdered his brother. Now art thou cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. You shall be a fugitive and a vagabond. Thou shalt be in the earth. Cain said to Yahweh, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that finds me shall slay me. And Yahweh said unto him, therefore, whosoever slays Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And Yahweh set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should murder him. And Cain went out from the presence of Yahweh, and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, she conceived, and bare Enoch. So Enoch was their first son. Cain knew his wife, she conceived, and bare Enoch. And he built a city, and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And unto Enoch was born these others. So we will leave off there, except for the last verse or two. of chapter 4. Adam knew his wife again in verse 25. She bare a son and called his name Seth. For Yahweh said, she has appointed me unto seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also, there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. And it's spelled here in the English E-N-O-S, and a little bit on the Latin side, or Greek. Then began men to call upon the name of Yahweh. Yahweh, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. And that's what it would say in the Hebrew text. Okay, that is on that topic. We're moving away now from Genesis quickly. As I said we were 39 minutes into the podcast, but we're moving on for just a little bit about prophecy now. In the book of Proverbs, we did not read Proverbs chapter 29, so I think we better do that. To be delivered, we need to follow the instructions of Yahweh, and not only trusting in His Son, but doing the words that Yahweh would have us do, doing the actions Yahweh has told and commanded us and told us there, and the instructions in the Word. So, let's see, we find in Proverbs 29, verse 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. And stopping there, moving on to verse 5, a man that flatters his neighbor spreads a nest for his best. For his feet. And verse 9, if a wise man contends with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul. A fool utters all his mind, and a wise man keeps it in until afterwards. If a ruler hearkens to lies, all his servants are wicked. The poor and the deceitful man meet together, Yahweh lightens both their eyes. The king that faithfully, this is verse 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom. A child left to itself brings his mother to shame. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increases, but the righteous shall see their fall. Now here's a verse that goes along with the rod. Don't spare the rod. Verse 17, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, blessed is he. A servant will not be corrected by words, for though he understands, he will not answer. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. He that pampers or delicately brings up his servant from a child shall have him become his son at length. An angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Who was partner with a thief? Let's see. Okay. This is an older copy of scripture. Who is a partner with a thief? Hates his own soul if he's a partner with a thief. He hears cursing and bewrayeth it not. The fear of a man bringeth a snare, but whosoever puts his trust in Yahweh shall be safe. Many seek the ruler's favor, but every man's judgment comes from Yahweh. An unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way is abomination to the wicked. And, okay, that was it. That was chapter 29 of Proverbs. Thought we'd help that so you could be delivered and by hearing the truth. And then I believe we're going to Jeremiah 13 or Ezekiel 13. Don't know. Let's see. Talking about the prophets. And to look out for false prophecy or for spurious prophecies that one might speak out of their heart, but Yahweh may say, hey, I never sent you. I never put those words in your mouth. You're making those words up. So, no, it wasn't. It is here somewhere in Jeremiah, but Ezekiel 13 and 14, there's a reference to false prophets. And so some of us believe that we have a gift of prophecy and that the Almighty has given us a word. And then the word might come out as a little bit of flattery that keep up the good work and have a good day. Now that compares with Yahweh and his word to us through the prophets to repent and to turn our heart toward him and to change our ways, to change our attitudes. Okay, Ezekiel 13 was a reference. And then we could quit. Okay, I know you're enjoying this, but we can't make the program too long. We've got to cut it down. So, 13 of Ezekiel, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, Hear you the word of Yahweh. Yahweh said, Woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit, and have seen nothing. Israel, the prophets are like foxes in the desert. You have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of Yahweh. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, Yahweh says. Yahweh told me this, Yahweh told me that. But Yahweh says, and Yahweh has not sent them. They have not made others to hope that they would confirm the word. And then skipping to verse 10, because they have seduced my people, saying, Shalom, and there was no shalom. One built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. Yes, there's all kinds of spirits that come along with the old baggage, the old sinful baggage that we have still are harboring in our hearts, that we need to release that. And get great liberty, get a release from the bondage of our carnal nature when we become thoroughly converted into Yahweh, into His way. And then we are, as He does this work in us, we are prepared for His kingdom. 13:22, because with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad. You have strengthened, putting the fear into you. And Yahweh has not necessarily done that. And has strengthened the hands of the wicked that he should not return from his wicked way by promising him life. There you shall see no more vanity or divine divinations, for I will deliver my people out of your hand, and you shall know that I am Yahweh. But if they be prophets, and that the word of Yahweh be with them, let them now make intercession to Yahweh of hosts, that the vessels which are left in the house of Yahweh and in the house of the king of Judah and at Jerusalem, go not to Babylon, for thus saith Yahweh of hosts concerning the pillars, the sea, the bases, and the residue of the vessels that remain in the city. When Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took not, when he carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, from Jerusalem to Babylon, and all the nobles of Judah and Jerusalem. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, concerning the vessels that remain in the house of Yahweh and in the house of the king of Judah and Jerusalem, they shall be carried away to Babylon, and there they shall be until the day that I visit them, saith Yahweh, that I will bring them up and restore them to this place. So there you are. There's about 50 minutes of this podcast of... We don't want to be backsliding, going back down to the former places that we are delivered from. As long as Yahweh has brought us out, let us be free and continue on and reach for the mark of the high calling of Yahweh, which is found in His Word. And He'll tell us all that we need to know about what there has to do with living a life for Messiah. Have a good day. The email address is, and I'll spell it out for you, it's stephanyah@yahvehyahweh.name. So drop us a line if you have any comments, questions, or any other issue, particularly about the technical quality. If there's an issue about the technical part, I'd like to hear about that from you. And also tell perhaps what country or what city that you are in, okay? And the address is Stephan Yah at YahvehYahweh.name. Stephan Yah, like in the Zephaniah. Stephan Yah is T-S-E-P-H-A-N-Y-A-H at Yahveh, that's Y-A-H-V-A-H. And Yahweh, Y-A-H-W-E-H, dot name. That's the email address. We also have another website called www.yahvehnotyahweh.com. So blessings, and Maranatha, may Yahweh come quickly. We'll talk to you again and fellowship again in the relationship that we have with Yahweh, which is a very close, loving relationship with Him by following His Word. Thank you and Shalom.